Let's learn. Okay, we are on page Resh Pei Aleph, the top of Resh Pei Aleph in the old edition. Is a Resh Pei Aleph or Resh Lamed Bo? We're in the middle of such a an important part of not just the Baruch, but of our lives. And we were trying to understand the word that Rabbi Nachman Schussler uses in the ingredients that are part, all the ingredients of his Baruch. Is this very, very strange word that we spoke about last week? We learned is a term that's found in halacha, amasla, which in English is often translated as excuse, that a person during his bardus is what would think that it means that he's supposed to make excuses or rationalize things in his or her life that have not been the way they should be. But what we learned last week, that that's not at all what Rabbi Nachman is talking about. He's not talking about rationalizing poor behavior and making excuses the way we're used to, like in school, why we're late, or how come I didn't show up for davening. Making excuses. But rather, we learn that Rabbi Nachman, and we see this in other places in Likutei Moran and Likutei Halachos, that Rabbi Nachman is telling us that in order for a person's hesbodus to be effective, he has to be honest. And that honesty means having an opportunity to explain yourself. Even though Hashem knows who we are, but we don't know who we are. And Rabbi Nachman wasn't talking about making excuses. Rabbi Nachman is talking about how a person is entitled and should plead his case before Kadosh Baruch Hu to say, it is true. I am guilty of wrong behavior, the things that I think, that I say, that I do, that I shouldn't. And I will try not to. And a good part of the purpose of his bardus, as we've been learning, is tshuva. However, I think it's important that I explain myself, that I talk it out, what I'm going through. I talk out what I'm going through, that I explain. And last week I read just a few sentences from Slichas. Right, that we see that almost all of Slichas is about talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu about, look, you want us to be holy, you want us to be pure, but then you stuck us in this crazy gullus, and they hate us, and we're going through all these tsaras, and I'm having a hard time with this. So that explanation, not excuse, but the explanation, is so important to being able to make this vote of something which is honest and real. And we were learning from Rabbi Nachman how in each and every one of us, we're used to the terms Yetzirah and Yetzirah Tov, but really it's not the same exact thing, but there's a koach. Rabbi Nachman speaks about there being a koach ha-moshech and a koach ha-machuyach. Koach ha-moshech means there's a koach, there's a gravitational pull inside of a Jew that's drawing him back to the essence of who he is. That's drawing him back to the pnimius of who he really is and who he really wants to be. But then you have this koach ha-machuyach that's forcing us, that's trying to pull us away in the other direction, to be machriach us, to behave in ways that are inconsistent with who we really are. Now, what happens is that in the beginning, when a person is still in the fight, so he feels very much the koach ha-moshech, the pull that's pulling him to himself, who he really wants to be, and he feels that the koach ha-machriach is something which is an outside voice, the voice of the snake, somebody or something that's pulling me and trying to convince me to be somebody other than who I am. But over time, if a person gives in to that snake, if you give in to the nachash, then you actually begin to identify with it. In other words, you begin to feel that this is who I am, and this is the way that I live. It's just who I am. And you no longer are the who I am, who you really are. You begin to see yourself as somebody else. So what we were talking about last week, and it's so important in modern times, this is what therapy became. Talking out my issues, explaining the struggles that I'm having, it's not because Hashem's Baruch doesn't know them. It's because by talking about these things, I'm able to once again remember, I'm able to come back to that distinction between these two kochos, that there's that koch ha-moshech of who I really want to be, and I once was, and I would like to be, who I really am, the emes, and then there's this koach hamachriach that is pulling me into so many things in life that are just not me. And unless a person stops and talks about and explains that this is not the way that I want to behave, I'm not proud of what I said or thought or whatever did. I'm not proud of it, but I'm struggling with A, B, and C, like in the slichas. So parnasa, I have to work. I'm working 12, 14 hours a day, and you want me to be some kind of a tzaddik, and I'm at work with the lowest people in the world, and then you want me to be a tzaddik. So it's not making an excuse. Why did I start to behave like some of the people at work? It's not an excuse. It's explaining that I got caught up in that whirlwind of the koach hamachriach. I just got pulled along with the koach hamachriach, but that's not who I want to be. And unless you and I take times in our lives to talk about that, that's as I said, people go to therapists, and it's much of what therapy is about, is being able to speak about these struggles, these challenges, and so on. Then you what happens is that you stop identifying with the koach hamoshe. You stop identifying with who you really are, and you just get lost in the office, in that world. And you begin to see yourself that way, at which point you don't go to therapy, and you don't go to Bezbodos. You just keep on going. You just live with the mistakes and the regret, and it comes out Rosh Hashanah Kippur occasionally, different times, but otherwise you just keep on going. So that's the tachlis of what Rabbi Nachman calls amaslaos, tainus v'amaslaos. We spoke in the last parak about tainus. What that means also doesn't mean tainus against Hashem. We're talking about tainus. And now we're talking about amaslaos, explanations, not excuses. Explaining, talking it over with Hashem, going through the sugi of my life, and why is it that I find it so hard to be myself? I know who I am. I know who I want to be, but I'm finding it so hard. And you could make it easier. So maybe we could talk about that, you know, to make it easier for me. I'm having a hard time. So on Resh Pei Aleph, the top of the page, Kshemavarazos b'motzei piv nochach b'nei Hashem. The tachlis is to reveal these thoughts, to reveal these explanations for my life. Nochach b'nei Hashem. It's not enough just they're in the back of my mind. I know this. I feel this way. Nochach b'nei Hashem. Come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the placing in that way, in that world of Hezbodus, within the context of what all we've been learning of Hezbodus, and talk it over. Say it. Nochach b'nei Hashem. Pour your neshama. I was talking in Florida a few weeks ago. I spoke about Nochach, and here too with the women's shiur. The Nochach is the Oisius Nishmas Kol Chai. Pour your neshama out before Hashem. Nochach, Shivchi Kamayim Libech, Nochach Pnei Hashem. Whatever it is that you're upset about, that you feel that the things that are in your way to being that person that you want to be. But if you don't talk about it, then you just drift further and further away, and you just end up in that world of the Koach HaMachriach. And there are other forces in your life that are ruling over who you are. You're not living the life that you want to live. Holeches umizbareres hanefesh shelo. So through this avod of amaslos, of explanation, a person is able to be mevarer, to clarify his own nefesh. This is what we're learning about in the Erev Shabbos Chabura in Ayeka. Ayeka, to be able to hear Hashem saying, who are you? Ayeka, where are you? Who are you? Oaz, through having these talks with Hashem, a person begins to be mevarer, to clarify, it becomes much clearer to him that there is this other part of him, this foreign snake, this other part that has crept into his life. That's a koach hamachriach. That's not what he wants. Ukshemavara mahu be'emes. So the point of his bodhus, and specifically these amaslos, these explanations, is to make this distinction between the Aruch Haman and the Baruch Mordechai, you know, of who you are. That this is Aruch Haman, And this is Baruch Mordechai. Only on Purim is there an Inyan of Ad Lo Yad. And that's a very big Inyan. But every other day of our lives, the Avoda is that there's a huge difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. I have an Aruch Haman inside of me that's crept into my life. That's the Koach HaMachriach. And then there's the person who I want to be that's called Baruch Mordechai. And the Avoda of a person is to make this Bira, to make this distinction, to clarify the Sugya. That's why the Jews have an expression, not every day of the year is Purim. But people would like to think that every day of the year is Purim. It's not every day is Purim. Purim is a certain Madrega. When we're able to come to a place of Adlai Yada, that's not for them. But Stam, the Avodah of a person is to make this Bira, to be Mevar. And if a person is making this distinction, and he has this time to talk about what's wrong and what he would like to change in his life, then the person will not ever come to be misached in my rashava. He'll never come to identify with that ra that's inside of him, which we spoke about last week. That everything now is about how you identify yourself. So it used to be that a person knew that there's myself and then there's a yitzhar, and that my job in life is not to identify with the Yetzirah, to punch, to kick, to scream. Sometimes he wins, sometimes I win, but that's not me. That's something else. But as the Siyanis before Mashiach are getting stronger and stronger, we see, as I mentioned last week, that all of the Milchamas now are over how you identify yourself. How do you identify yourself? So we see that this is the Nakuda Pnimis before Mashiach comes, of who are you? All the Birurim now for Mashiach, this Nakuda of who are you? Who are you? And if a person lives a life of his Bodhis, in the Avod of his Bodhis, so what the Tzaddik here is explaining is that you can't slip into that confusion. That doesn't mean you don't have a Yetzirah. As I said, sometimes he wins. It doesn't mean that a person doesn't have to fight and to struggle, but at least you know who your enemy is. And it's not that the enemy is you. You know there's an enemy. You know there's a Haman. You know that there's an Amalek. You know that it's that, and therefore you know that you have to fight against it. Not, well, since that's who I am, why should I fight against it? I'm just going to join the ranks of Haman. And now I'm just a member of that team, which is what happens to a lot of people. And then they say, this is my identity. I'm a Russia. This, I'm that. It's my identity. No, there's a Milchama. There's a Milchama. There's a war. And that war is until Mashiach comes as a war with Amalek. And engaging in this avoda of the Amaslos by his avodas is a way of clarifying the two sides. That there are two sides. There's Tov and there's Ra. There's Mordechai, there's Haman, there's Yisrael, there's Amalek. These are the two sides. And therefore, in his body, this person, just like David Melch, cried out and said, save me from my enemy. That's my enemy. That's my enemy. My enemy. When a person is, God forbid, in some sort of an addiction, the beginning of the issue is to identify that as an enemy and to stop making excuses. To stop making excuses about why I drink and it's not really an addiction. It's just, you know, it's kiddush and whatever. And to stop that and to say, like Dovid HaMelech said, Hatzileni me'oiv, Hashem, save me from my enemy. This is my enemy. And this is a war. But the vast majority of the world's not in this kind of a war. The war is against anybody that's in the way of getting what they want to get. In other words, anybody that's going to stop me from having my drink, he's my enemy, not the alcohol. The guy that's, you know, my wife who's telling me, I really don't like what you're doing with this drinking. I think it's not just kiddush. I think it's excessive. She's the enemy, not the drink. She's the enemy because she's getting in the way of my drinking. And I'm a person I have this custom of drinking a lot on Shabbos. And then sleeping the rest of the day, missing mincha and so on. And and not going to a shiur, just being in that zone. So who's the enemy? The one who's taking away my drink. That's what the alcoholic thinks. If anybody comes over to the alcoholic and grabs the bottle from his hand, he looks at that person being the biggest rush in the world. I had a guy saying, Rabbi, I'm trying to save your life. You're killing yourself with the alcohol. The one who takes away the bottle is the enemy. When the person understands, that begins to understand that the alcohol is my enemy, and he says to Hashem, "Hatzileni mi oivai, Rabbi Shalom, save me from my enemy. Save me from my enemy. Ki omtsu mimeni." And you could say, he's stronger than me. This habit I have, it's bad. This is the Urur Haman. It's bad. And I don't know how to win. Omtsu mimeni. That already, that's part of his bonus. That's what the Navi is saying. He's strong. And I don't feel that I have the strength to overcome him. I needed help. That's davening. Osam yitzayim roim, osam midas magunos. Whether it's the Yetzahara, or it's a particular midah that you see is destructive. Hey, Ma'ivai, those are my enemies. Afa pishanira shahem ohavai. Even though they appear to be, just like the bottle of liquor appears to the drunk to be his best friend, he holds it, it's his best friend. The bottle of liquor is his best friend. The guy that's smoking the cigarette is, he never goes away from his cigarettes. He always has, they're best friends. But when he begins to see that for what it is, that's not me, that's a terrible habit, that's killing me, that's destroying my family, it's destroying my ruchnius, my gashmius, the cigarette, the drink, whatever it is. So then that's not an ohev, that's an oyev. And the letters between oyev and ohev, are pretty much the same. There's very little difference between oyev and ohev, and it's very hard to make that distinction. It's very hard to make that distinction between the oyev and the ohev. But that's the beginning of a person having Yeshua. The beginning of the Yeshua is when you recognize who's the oyev and who's the ohev. In other words, so the ohev is the wife that's saying, I don't want you going to that place. I don't like the way that they're drinking and carrying on. I don't want you going there. That's the ohev. And the ohev are the guys that are saying, what's the matter with you? Hey, what's the matter? Your wife is talking to you. You lost your mind. This is a very religious experience we're having over here in our shul. I'm getting drunk on Shabbos. That's the ohev. You have to know the voice of the snake. It doesn't make a difference if the snake is a good friend of yours and he wears the towels over his head when he's not drinking, even while he's drinking. Doesn't make a difference. That's the enemy. In this Indian, God forbid, it's not enemy. But that's the voice of the snake in this Indian of whatever that bad habit is that you need to see in a real way. So by talking about this, about this in an honest and real way, and that's what the Chevra do when they get together, when they have meetings of the 12 steps, they choose. That's what it's all about. What's the big chiddush? It's the big chiddush. I read through the book on the original book, the little black book with the 12 steps. Many years ago, one of the chaver gave it to me. It's not a big chiddush. It's just to be honest and to talk. And the ikkar is when people talk with each other and they're able to explain their struggles and talk about their struggles. That's the beginning of the Yeshua. Zman bo mevar ha'adam es ha'nefesh. Marchik me'atzmo mimahuso es ha'yetzer, to separate between the nefesh, that's Baruch Mordechai, and the yetzer, that's Arur Haman, to hang Haman and his sons, to bring Mordechai in. That's the birur that takes place. Roy gam lasok b'mechor neged ha'yetzer u'ma'alolov kvishn es bar b'lukut ha'loch. This is a very deep Torah. I spoke about this on Rosh Hashanah almost 30 years ago. That's a long time ago. There weren't too many that were there then. Maybe Shamyana, but he wasn't listening. So at that point, or he may believe he wasn't. So what's this Inyan of Mecha? Now, everybody knows that Mecha means protest, right? To protest. That's a Mecha. And it's used, we use that in all different ways. I'm making a Mecha. There's a Mecha. So there are people that make mechas against shaitels, that people make mechas against the people make mechas against shaitels. There are all kinds of mechas. Mecha means a protest. But in halacha, the use of the word mecha is very, very clear. Hadin shel mecha hu ba'adam shegazlan ishtalit al karka osa. The classic use of the word mecha in the Gemara is when a person, let's say, was on vacation, or he was away, or he was at work, overseas, whatever it is, and his house was empty. And somebody moved in. Somebody moved in, especially in the old days when they have all the legal stuff to prevent that from happening. Somebody moved in. And hishtalut al karka, so b'tayin shem shelo. And this intruder, this trespasser, claims it's his property. It's my house. Ve'ein b'yodo koch lahotzi min hakarka, and the owner doesn't have deeds or proofs. Adam deeds, whatever. He doesn't have proof to get back his property. So there's a takonis chazal that if the true owner, the nigzal, the one who that property was stolen from, if the nigzal is moichib ifnei shleisha anoshim, he gets together three Jews and he makes a macha. He formally states over the course of time. Again, I'm not going into the details of how often and so on, but if the person has said periodically in front of three people, I own the property at such and such address, he makes a macha, and he says, Plonya Gazlonahu, that I have heard, it's been brought to my attention, that so and so is trying to steal my property. Even though this could be long distance, and he does this someplace else, but he's because he's on business overseas, and he's screaming because he heard the news. There's some guy living in his house, and he makes a mecha, not just in his own place or in his hotel room, screaming and yelling. He gets together, he makes a formal, he lodges a formal complaint that so and so Plony has occupied my house. And this Gazlan, he's made himself at home. He's working the fields and he's enjoying the fruit of the property. Nevertheless, I mean, it still has to be brought to Bezdin, and Bezdin will have to decide. But it breaks up the possibility of this person having a chazaka. Now, if that person lives there 3 years consecutively, if the gazlan, if the thief, lives for 3 years on that property, and there's no recorded protest in front of a bezin of three on the part of the owner, then we assume that it's not the owner's, then the owner is not a muchzak on the property. Because he doesn't have a chazaka. He doesn't have that status. He doesn't have the status quo that it's his property. As long as he couldn't get back for a while, he heard that this guy's living there and he's protesting it. And it's in front of three, so that means it has a piersum and it's public knowledge that this fellow, the owner, is someplace on the other side of the world screaming that this guy's occupied my land. That prevents the gazlan, the thief, from achieving what he would like to achieve is the status of what? Muhsak, a chazaka. Because if he's a muhsak, then the burden of proof is on the other guy, because I'm Hamatzim Chaveru, Oliver Raya, without getting to the subject of Karak and Mephazlan, these are sugis and halacha. But then, it, as long as the true owner protests, that macha means that he's breaking up the possibility of that person, the thief, becoming a muhsak. This guy's not, and so now they have to come to Bezdin, they work it out in Bezdin, but he's not a muhsak. In other words, it doesn't change the status of the owner, as the owner doesn't become a person who has to prove that it's his, and the guy that's a muhsak has the ability to rest on that reality that I have a chazak, I'm a muhsak, I'm living here for 3 years. So the bezin says, oh no, you're not living here for 3 years. Stop. We have the following emails, and we have all kinds of that the owner, the one who claims to be the owner, has been protesting this for all of this time. So then we have a din tari, but it's not a muksa, you understand? So what does that mean in Avodas Hashem? It's the very beginning of Avodas Hashem. Adam Yosef is Zoik Lashem al Yetzahara Meshtalitalov. When a person is screaming about the Yetzahara, he lodges a complaint against the Yetzahara. It doesn't have to be in front of three people. But when a person makes a mechah against the Yetzahara, המשתלט עליו, הוא מרגיש שהוא כבר לא בילם על עצמו. הוא צועק מעמקי ליבו, ואינו רואה שום תועלת. So he's saying, if a person has been taken over by the Yetzer Hara, and he, God forbid, begins to identify with the Yetzer Hara, and he forgets that he's the true owner of himself, and somebody else owns him. Al ze omer Reb Nosson, dalecha, gam im ha-Yetzer Hara ha-gazlan yoshe b'soch libcha. Reb Nosson comes and explains that you should know. And even though we're not talking about Reuven and Shimon, two different people arguing over a piece of property, we're talking about you. And the Yetzer Hara is the gazlan. The thief, the one who's trying to steal your life, is the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara is inside of your heart. Im tamshich v'tizvak v'titzak al Hashem, keep on screaming. Even though in the meantime, you haven't been able yet to get back, you haven't been able to get back your property. In other words, you still feel like you're giving in to the Yetzer Hara. You still are failing. You still have times when you just lose the Yetzer. But timcha b'chol hakoach, protest with all of your strength. So I explained back then in that Rosh Hashanah years ago that the tzaddikim say that every year when we come to Elul, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's an opportunity to make a mechah. If a lot of people feel like, you know, here I am again. It's another Elul, another Rosh Hashanah, and I'm the same person that I was last time. So, like, what does all this mean? Like, what's the point of going through Slichus and the whole business of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? What's the tachlis of all of this? So, what Rabbi Nosson is saying is that the tachlis is make a mecha. Every year when we come to those days, even Jews are generally not into their Yiddishkeit so much, and they're like in a lot of stuff that it's not good. But just by showing up and by Nidre, and that's why one of the reasons why we have a Hataras Nedarim. Hataras Nedarim means, you know, that there are things that I've gotten caught up in from the Koach HaMachriach that I don't want to be caught. I don't want to be stuck in this. And why do we begin Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre, that we have a little Bezdin, and we have this Sifrei Torah, like we're sitting at a Din Torah, and we have a Bezdin, and we're annulling the vows that we made. It's a protest against what it seems to be that I've avowed myself to a certain life, and I'm protesting that. Now, it doesn't mean that if Yom Kippur, all of us right away, everything is givaldic and we don't make the mistakes, but I'm at least protesting that he's a gazlan. You understand? He's a thief. He's a loani. He's a thief. He's not the real owner. I'm the real owner. I'm the real owner of my life. He's not the real owner of my life. He's a gazlan. So you say that he's a gazlan, you and the guy, same person. Yeah, I know. And I'm talking it over on Slichus and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I'm talking this out because that's my way of saying, ani moche. I protest the gazlan inside of me. I do not want to be this way. I'm against this way of life. So then why do you do it? I'm assuming many of them help me. Yeah, it's a good kasha. I have a hard time. I don't know what to do. I may, I'm, my moon is not strong. Help me. I don't know what to do. Either I'm looking for aces, and I want to be better. But if a person will go, imagine if you went just without any Shabbos. Shabbos is also a mecha. It's a sweeter type of mecha. But Shabbos is not a mecha. When a person comes Shabbos, and he says the words, boikal nesucha, Shabbos malchus, it's not a mecha. He's making the whole week you forget who you are. And you begin to think that's who you are, the guy at work or the lady there, whatever, in the office, or wherever you are, you think that that's who you are. And then when you come to Shabbos, you say, no, you make a mecha. Every Shabbos, we make a mecha. I protest the gazlan. He's a gazlan. The one that did all those averas this week, that's a gazlan. Not to make believe. It's not an excuse. It's not to get out of. It's an explanation. And the explanation is, he's a gazlan. It's the Koach HaMachriach. I need help, but I at least I'm clarifying before myself and my Creator that it's clear to me that this is not who I am. This is not the true owner of my guf. It's not the true owner. I'm the true owner, and I'm reclaiming that. Hey, you still have a din Torah ahead, and you still have to work it out, and there's a back and forth. It's not pashut. to become a tzaddik. It's a milchama. But you have protested the presence of the enemy on your property. There is a foreign alien intruder that's on my property, that's in my life. I don't consent to his presence. What do you mean? You're living like that for your whole life? I know. I have a bad record. And it looks like he's the owner of my life. I do not consent to him being the owner. I protest him being the owner. And so when it comes every year, that it comes to Yom Kippur, then Jews, even though Jews are not normally thinking so much about stuff, at least they're lodging a complaint on some level. At least they're lodging a complaint. Or if you go to see a tzaddik, so what am I playing a game? Am I asking for brachas or tzaddik? When you go to the tzaddik, what you're saying is, I understand that this person is much, 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 much greater than I am. I understand that he's a holy person, and I understand that such a person is worth going to ask for a bracha. So then somebody can ask a kasha. If you see that person as being such an ideal person, then why don't you live like him? Because why don't you daven and learn all the time, and stay away from all bad stuff? So then, but by you identifying with the tzaddik, it's a huge thing to go to a tzaddik for many reasons. But when you go to the tzaddik, you're saying, this is something. This is something. But if you stand online waiting to get an autograph from some mutation of a ball player or something, or of an actor, an actress, you see what they do. They stand, people stand online for hours and hours. I was once with a couple of friends of mine. I told this to you once. There's another Yankee story, but I hope this doesn't get onto the. I can't even say it in a geschmack way, so it won't get onto the clip, any clip. But years ago, I was a couple of friends. We went to a Yankee game, and one of my friends was Meshuggah, a crazy fan for a particular one of the ball players. I don't want to say which name. He's quite a famous person. I don't want to say name. Not because of Lashnar, but you know, maybe somebody feel upset or bad about it. But there's a famous ball player on the Yankees. And so he convinced there were three of us or four of us. And this friend said he wanted to wait around when they come out from the clubhouse and to get an autograph. Truth is that the rest of us never into autographs. And he wasn't my favorite player. My favorite player was also a drunk and an adulterer, but wasn't this guy. So he was like Meshuggah for this, and okay, we'll wait. So we were little kids. I'm not saying we were 18 or something. I don't know how. Maybe 11 or 12. I don't remember. So we were waiting around in the back for the guys to come out, and we stood there, and the friend of ours went running over to the ball player. They didn't have any guards. So he went over to the ball. Probably not to have guards. Went over to the ball player and said, Could you sign? He had a baseball or a glove. Could you sign? And the ball player said, "My glove." Sorry, I can't say it. That's why I say it's not fucking smack. He said the most foul word. Go blanks. He was standing like with a baseball. So, what's the marshal? The marshal is clear. Is it the nimshal? The initial is there's a reason why we went online to go to a tzaddik and not online to get an autograph from a wall player. And the reason is, when you're going to the tzaddik, what you're saying in effect is, I am protesting, I am being moicha against the lowercase person that I am, and I am identifying with a higher case of a Jew. I know I'm not there yet. I want my kid to be like that. I can't be there right now. I need help, but I make a biur between Arham and Bachman. This is somebody I look up to. When you have a picture of a tzaddik on the wall, what's the holding you have? Because I look up to this person. I look up to this person. Why do you look up to him? If you look up to him, then why don't you live like him? What should I tell you? That's when a person gives a cracks and says, I know, I'm going to try. I'm starting a new chavrus on Thursday. I'm going to try, but that's beautiful. That means that's who you really are. You just haven't gotten to the lamaisa of you. But who you really are is that tzaddik. That's why you love him. That's why you identify with him. Meaning that that's a person who I would want my kid to be like. Wow. He said, what do you mean? This tzaddik never went to Harvard. He never sold any stocks. He doesn't, not in any hedge fund, doesn't own four houses. He doesn't go to Orlando for Pesach. He sits in a little tiny apartment someplace. You want your kid to be like him? He's a little yitzlach. He's a little yitzlach. What, you want your kid to be like Rav Eliyashiv? Well, what kind of life is that? Rav Eliyashiv? What, does anybody from the five towns going to stay in Rav Eliyashiv's apartment for the circus or something? Are you kidding? Even though now you can get $25,000 for your apartment in Yerushalayim, Rav Eliyashiv, you still can't get $25,000 in that apartment. So you want your kid to be Rav Eliyashiv, like a Rav Eliyashiv? I remember I've said this a few times to my wife. This is what I'm saying about my shrig, my mother-in-law. And this is the kind of family that they came. So she came from a family that, you know, from Vilna, that we're learning was something, a Talmud Chacham is somebody who was important. So, you know, my mother-in-law with each of the girls, she would have these discussions about, you got to marry someone that's going to take care of you. Don't get one of these guys that's sitting on a bench the whole day. You know what I mean? She would give them like this, you know, down to her talk from Bubby. That was the down to her. So I remember I once said to my mother-in-law, one of the girls was sitting there, I said something like, But what if Chumius, Shani, whatever, what if she can marry like Rav Moshe Feinstein? That, so then my mother-in-law stopped and she said, no, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's okay. That's all right. But don't give me that much Moshe. There's none of these guys that Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know, but Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's all right. Rav Moshe Feinstein's okay. What does that mean? Those words, Rav Moshe Feinstein's okay. What that means in effect is that you're saying that is the super person. That is the greatest Jew in the world. So when you say those words, in effect, even though in your own day to day it might not be Rav Moshe Feinstein, Dick, nevertheless, you see that as something which is an ideal. And there's a huge difference between looking at that person as an ideal and looking at some movie star or ball player as an ideal, and therefore going to the tzaddik or admiring a tzaddik. Telling stories of tzaddikim is a macha against the lower way of life. It's making a macha against Hollywood. It's making a macha against Washington, D.C. You understand? It's a macha against Washington. The president of the United States gets all these people, these babbling fools, liars. They get up and they talk nonsense. And then you hit. And we all, and therefore it's a mitzvah to make these havchanas between Arham and Baruch Mordechai. To make havchanas between Arham and Baruch Mordechai. That's what Rabbi Nachman, that's what the tzaddik here is talking about. That's the avodah. The protest. It's a Goslin. That's not me. There's somebody that doesn't own me that's trying to take over my life. That's what it means. Tamshiv, therefore, one of the big things about his Bardus is you might not see great changes taking place right now in your life, but Tamshiv, V'tizak, V'titzak, L'Hashem, keep on screaming, protesting. Keep on rooting for your team and scream out against the opponent. Keep on doing that. Timche b'cholkoch. Now we're coming to Sunta Pasha Zocher. So what I mean, Zocher is that just Mocha Timche. What's the name of Mechias? To remember the enemy, and to keep on screaming and fighting against the enemy. I'm not going to allow the enemy to be my bailam. I'm not going to allow myself to be taken over, to be owned. I'm not going to be owned by the other side. I'm not going to be owned by the Yetzirah, by the enemy. I sometimes I have a bad day and he gets in a patch, but I'm not going to be owned by him. Tamid yeda hayodeya talumas ki ata kamoi oisa odam shagazan achsa oshak is nachalasa. Therefore, Hashem knows, and you know with yourself that it's clear to you what's important in life and who you want to be in life, and that the gazan, the yetzahara, is cruel. Yetzirah is a ruthless part of my life that is trying to take over my life, but it's my enemy. And through his bodhis, a person protests and does not and stays away from falling into that identity crisis, losing your identity, and waking up one morning and saying, maybe I'm not me, maybe I'm that, or I'm her, I'm him, or whatever it is. Maybe I'm not. Maybe that's not me. Not to fall into that identity crisis. The whole world now is struggling with this union of identity. And when Hashem will hear your tefillos, and if you keep on protesting, He will, and He'll hear your tefillos, and He'll bring you back to your property. He'll bring you back. He'll bring you back to your place. That's why you see there are many people now in the world that are uncomfortable with the new government in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, there are things about that make me uncomfortable too, but not the same things that are making those people uncomfortable. I'm also a little bit uncomfortable about some of this stuff. But you have all these nice American liberal Jews that it bothers them that there are Jews that are saying befeirish that Eretz Yisrael is ours. The whole Eretz Yisrael is ours. Every inch of it. And who the chevra that are hanging out in Ramallah and in Shechem, they're intruders. I'm not saying that they can't pay rent. I'm not saying that I'm not formally saying like the things that Rabbi Kahana used to say openly. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, Eretz Yisrael is mine. Eretz Yisrael is ours. And we have to protest. That's why the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's when he told Netanyahu back when they met years ago that to go when Netanyahu was in the United Nations, he said to get up and tell the whole United Nations the first Rashi in Chumash. Reish the Rolakim, says mine is ours. Eretz Yisrael, it belongs to the one who created Eretz Yisrael, it belongs to us. So everybody said, how can the Lubavitcher Rebbe said to him to do that? To take a Tanakh, open the Tanakh, and say, Reish the Rolakim, says mine is ours. The first Rashi, I'm Rebbe Yitzchak. That's it. Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. Because you're making a birur, you're clarifying the truth. And we're living in a world where nothing is clear, where everything is confusing. Akedekach that you have from this generation to the last generation, even the Jews who are not religious, who identified with Eretz Yisrael. All the studies that they're taking now is that the average, not Orthodox, but the average Jew that's not religious in America doesn't have a shaychus kiyus at Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't feel anything. And therefore, you can go to the campuses. You have 10,000 Jews, and there are 500 Palestinians, and they took over the whole campus. And the Jews is like, How could that be? But there it is that those Palestinians, Avdol, identify as Palestinians, and that gives them a certain kaya. But the Jews that are there on the campus, with a few exceptions, no. What does it mean to be a Jew? Chalal was the shaykhs, the Yiddish guy, the shaykhs, and fighting over what edge. So. No, there are Jews that go together march with the Palestinians. Hashem and Abba back marching with Palestinians. No, even some of them even have a beard and pace that do that, and they march with Palestinians. You don't identify anymore. You don't remember who am I, and that I have a home. My home is Eretz Yisrael. My home is not New York. My home is not England. My home is Eretz Yisrael, and I'm Moshe. I'm lodging a formal protest and complaint against those who are occupying our land. And that makes a lot of Jews uncomfortable. When these people get up and talk that way about Judea and Samaria, Yehuda and Shamron, they're all going crazy. Even the idiot of a president of the United States, he had to make some comment about, I don't know if you saw what he said. He weighs in on the subject of Yehuda and Shamron. He doesn't know where they are. He doesn't know what it means. And he has something to say about Judea and Samaria, about Jews who are building homes. Because now the new government is saying, putting up 10,000 homes, right? Well, come on. It's Kavaldi. We just have to make sure people move in. Not to have Americans who just own them and they're empty, right? Mitzvah Hashem, people will move in. Get 10,000, build new 10,000 new homes. Because Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. It's a machal. And that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. When Jews are saying openly that Eretz Yisrael belongs to us, That makes them very uncomfortable. Makes them very uncomfortable. They don't know what to do. They didn't know what to do when Menachem Begin was around. They did not do it. Every single time a guy came to talk to Menachem Begin, some president, the prime minister, he said, your father killed my father. That's what he said basically today in Germany. He said, you're telling me where I should live. You're telling me what I should do. Who do you think you are? The Germans are going to tell us, the Jews, where we should live in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Menachem Begin said. He didn't care. And he made everybody uncomfortable. Jews also made very uncomfortable. Why? Because to say openly the truth, to make a machar, right now, unfortunately, we can't be on the Harabais. We can't be on the Harabais because of the matzav in the world. Harabais should change soon. It should be forever. But to make a machar, to know who that place belongs to know who does that belong to. Who are the rightful owners of that place? The only reason that the mosque is there still is because Moshe Dayan made a mistake in 1967. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there anymore. Who does that place belong to? A person has to be mevarer the truth. That's what this is all about. Talking out the inyan. And then eventually, when you protest and you know where you belong and who you are, toshuv l'nachaloscha shichelek v'nachla v'lakei yourself. And you end up getting back to your place. But otherwise, you don't get back to your place. Otherwise, you're forever drifting, forever homeless. But if you remember it's your place and you keep on screaming, that's my place, that's my home, and you fight for your place and you fight for your home and you protest those who are trespassing upon your place and what they're doing over there, then Hashem will bring us back to our place and we'll be able to be there. Yeshatim levetach, to be in a way that's completely peaceful. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll continue next time.